Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is now Magic Hour with Meg and Mal.
It sure is. It's the magic hour. Pretty late for us.
Yeah. Yes, I am now transforming into a large squash.
Actually, you stay up pretty late.
I do.
Yeah, so you're fine. You're probably like, my night's just getting started.
Kinda. I've got lots of episodes of The Strain to watch tonight.
The Strain? What's that about?
Oh my God, it's such an old show. It came on FX about maybe early 2000s or something. And it's literally about New York City getting hit with this epidemic, which is actually vampirism. And these vampires aren't just like regular vampires. They like shoot these like worms with teeth out of their mouths, and then you get infected with these white worms, and you have to avoid the white, and like it turns everybody into like this vampire because they need blood, but then they shoot these
they're like, worms.
Yeah,
it's that makes gross. It gross.
It's by Guillermo del Toro, and I love it.
It's great, but
it totally speaks to my sense of mayhem and desperation and beast mode. Like, I'm kind of ready for like an apocalypse so I can utilize all this fight or flight inside me.
I love it.
To the best of its ability.
I think that we should now rename the podcast to Mayhem Hour.
Mayhem.
Actually, that's so funny that you brought that up, the apocalypse, because we had an earthquake today.
Yes, we did.
And I did think of that Tool song immediately.
I'm praying for mayhem. I'm praying for tidal waves.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the first things that I thought of, too. Did I text you that? I thought I texted you that. Mayhem and tidal waves. I texted somebody that.
Maybe you did text me, or maybe we had
Mind melding during the mayhem.
Yeah. Maybe we just, like, what is that called? Like telepathy? Telepathed it to each other.
Yeah, we totally did.
We were shining. Do you ever see The Shining? That's what they do. They have their
kid, you got The Shining in you.
Yeah. I love that you said that. Yo,
in the first, because they redid The Shining. Oh, no, Dr. Sleep is an extension of The Shining. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that first Shining, that black guy. I love that black guy. He's like, yeah, boy, you got
I
The
love
Shining
the
in
picture
you.
Behind his bed. Are we talking about the movie?
The Elvis? Wait, it was like a velvet picture.
It was like a velvet woman.
Yeah, like this old black guy, and you're like, wait a minute, he had a life, okay? He's not your granddad.
He was cool.
Yeah,
he was cool. I liked him.
Picture.
That movie is so good, and I know that Stephen King is all mad about the fact that Stanley Kubrick changed his story, but Stanley Kubrick made a masterpiece. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I love it.
I think Stephen King's still butthurt about it.
He's not. He's accepted.
He got over it.
Yeah, he's made so many more books.
Yeah, he's definitely chilling in his house in Siesta Key.
Yeah.
Off of the royalties. So.
Actually, a friend of mine told me that his favorite Stephen King book is called The Dome, and that I should read that one. Do you read Stephen King?
I actually did read a really cool Stephen King list recently. It's called Fairy Tale. I mean, of course I'm going to read that.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's called Fairy Tale, and it was really great. It was young boy dealing with life and then an adventure, and it didn't shy away from things. And I was thoroughly enthused reading this book. I wanted to read another one, and I was considering reading The Dark Tower, that series. I think the first one is called Gunslinger, but I was just like, nah, I'm gonna either listen to Night Watch, which I had to download Audible and I haven't done that, so instead I got The Witcher, because that had finally said, oh, your hold is available, you can listen to The Witcher now, and I'm like, I kind of want to hear that too. And then today another hold became available because I had like 5 holds. The Other Black Girl. So it was a show on Hulu, and it's based off of this book called The Other Black Girl. So I'm like listening to it now, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. So it's about a black girl navigating corporate world, a white corporate world, pretty much. Yeah. So, yeah, it was.
Is it good so far?
Oh, it's. I know something weird happens, and I'm just listening out for the weird. I love the weird. So
I love the weird too. I'm into the weird.
Yeah.
I love it.
So yeah, I'm ready for that.
And speaking of the weird, we had an earthquake today, yeah. But we are having a solar eclipse on Monday. Yeah. Are you thinking about that at all? Is that on your mind?
I mean, honestly, I keep saying, okay, I'm going to go read up about what the spiritualists are saying about this earth eclipse. And I don't have the bandwidth for it. There's enough happening without the eclipse happening right now in my brain.
I feel like we're going to feel what's happening regardless.
I think we already are feeling what's happening. Earthquake aside, I think we already are feeling what's happening. The ramifications of it, I think, are going to reveal themselves even more strongly. But there's something about this convergence that is, I think, a lot has been in the making. I almost want to say that someone has said to me that with the eclipse coming, things are going to become more clear and things are going to settle down. But I'm not sure. You can't, don't quote me on that, people. I don't know. I need to like look into it. I want to call this girl again. I'm like, I need to pay her more money to help me understand me.
Aww.
It's the one who did my birth chart.
Yeah.
She hit me somehow, you know, and it's like, okay, I can trust her. Yeah, I want to. But I was actually, it was 5:30 and I was at Alex's house. And I felt an aftershock.
Yes, I felt that too.
Yeah.
I felt it here. All the windows in here were rattling.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, it was freaky.
And I think David said he felt an aftershock like around 12 o'clock down in South Jersey. So I'm just like, okay. All right. I'm not trying to minimize the significance of earthquakes, but, you know, it's all about me. Like, there's enough metaphorical and spiritual and emotional earthquakes going on that a physical earthquake, I'm like, bring it on. Like, just match my insides.
I knew almost immediately it was an earthquake.
Did you know?
Yeah. And it was funny because I remember the last earthquake we had that we felt a couple, like, it was years ago. It was like more, it was like 10 years.
So maybe I heard 10, it was around 2011.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
And I was at work and I was at my desk and I saw this mirror across from me, and I saw it move, and mm-hmm. then I felt the earth move, and mm-hmm. I was like, okay, we're having an earthquake. And then this time I heard a noise and I thought it was a truck, and then I thought maybe the roof was collapsing, and then it kept going. I was like, oh, this is definitely an earthquake.
Trucks, right? Helicopters. I've been, and one thing I've noticed is that many people went to check their washing machines.
Yeah, because it was like, I ran outside. I'm like, I'm the kind of person who's like, if shit goes down, do not wait for me to save you, because I am I'm like out.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
So I was somewhere and like the aftershock happened and they were like, they wanted to go deeper in their house. And I was just like, I'm either staying here or I'm going outside.
I ran outside.
I'm not trying to get trapped by the rubble. So what type of person are you? Please let us know. I don't know if we have a comment section or an email. What type of person are you? If and when an earthquake happens, are you a run outside type of person? Or are you a go deeper in your house type of person? Yeah.
Are you saving the people? Like, my colleague called her children immediately, and I was just out the door. I was like, bye. Bye. I was like, it's an earthquake. I got up and I ran outside.
Well, I mean, think about it, though. You were at work. Like, seriously, it's not your job to save them. That's HR's job.
Yeah, but even if I was home, I would be like, Lisa, it's an earthquake. I'm going outside.
Well, at least you would have. That's helping.
I would be like,
yeah, exactly. You would totally save it.
And she'd be like, there's no reason to rush anywhere. I don't rush. And I'd be like, get the fuck outside, motherfucker.
Curse her for being so damn level-headed.
Always. That's the kind of shit that I'm like, can you hurry up? Like, we're going to the store. Like, we get out of the car. She's slow rolling. She's like, I'm not in a rush anywhere. And I'm like, I am.
Can you
I
am in my a panic. Rush.
Can you? I am always in a fucking rush. I know what I'm about to do. Let's get to the store. Let's do what we need to do. And let's get back in the car.
But, you know, it's so funny you say that, because we were just watching this show earlier, you and I, and the person was like, yeah, I'm rushing, 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 but rushing to go where? Hurry up and die?
Yeah.
Right? Like, hurry up and go to bed? Like,
I definitely related to that.
Hurry up at the red light. Oh, I love that. Right? When people are, like, honking at you or, like, you're driving and there's a red light right in front of you and people are, like, flashing their high beams like, you should go faster because it's a red light. Or they want to speed in front of you.
I hate that. As soon as I see a red light, I take my foot off of the gas.
Yeah, and then I put it on the brake because I don't really want to slow down. My old car likes to keep the momentum of the wheels turning. Mm-hmm. So I start to slow down.
Yeah. And then, people are crazy. In the show we were watching, too, the episode was, like, a lot about, like, forgiveness of yourself and judgment and things like that. And I feel like I judge myself constantly. That's what I was thinking about the whole episode. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I constantly judge myself and I judge people around me and people I don't know, of course. And and even though that judgment I know comes from fear in some way, yeah, I am. I'm scared to be like that. I don't want to be a certain way. Yeah. And I don't like myself because I'm a certain way and I think it means something. I make up, you know, whatever story in my head that it means to be a certain way.
So I got some spiritual shit to share with you about all
Please
that.
Please do.
Okay. So in my spiritual development, I've learned that the universe brings you exactly what you need based off of your level of comprehension. And so in the beginning of your journey, you might have only been able to be aware of like, hey, you steal sometimes, or hey, you're a liar, or hey, you lie by omission, or hey, you're a murderer, you kill ants, you know?
Hey, you're a murderer.
Yeah, right? Things based on your level of comprehension. You know that you're growing when things that are kind of like, oh, wow, I'm thinking about this now, because your level of comprehension is rising and spirit is coming in to meet you there. They're like, oh, they're ready for this piece now. They're ready for this piece now. And so the only thing you have to have is willingness to continue to entertain it. Because the answers, like, this has been so indicative of my journey. The answers don't come when I'm saying, like, give me the fucking answer. The answer comes when I'm like, okay, I'm willing to sit with this and deal with this. And I know the answer will come to me. The solution will come to me. Or, and then they're like, well, the willingness to just even entertain and to just be with this is part of the answer. So the fact that this thing that makes you uncomfortable has shown up means that it's actually in the process of being transmuted. And the answer is to just not shy away from it anymore and to, like, take in as much as you can to, like, learn about it. Don't make it like a chore, but just to be open to it and see what else blossoms from it, because this is what growing looks like. This is exactly what's supposed to happen. And then the more uncomfortable you get with it, with what is being revealed as a result of that initial thought, that's when you'll be like, okay, well, what if I try this? Because I've been listening and I've been open to hearing what spirit and friends and media has to say about this one affliction. All right, I'm tired of this, really. What if I tried this? At least that's been, like, the progress of my growth. And they're saying, like, we have to give ourselves more credit for being able to acknowledge that there's a problem. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I was like an ostrich. Like, I was ready to stick my head in the sand about everything. And then it was like, no, you can't. If you do that, you're going to keep getting what you're going to get. But because you want change, you got to take your head out of the sand and look at what shows up. And it's like, wow, you're growing and you're giving yourself these opportunities to have courage, you know? Really important asset. So her face is like, okay, I can consider that. She's not in love with it. She's not in love with it. I think she forgot a moment that this is a podcast. So speaking, your reactions are kind of important.
I did.
But
I did.
But her eyes were like, hmm.
I'm taking it in. I'm absorbing it. And it takes me a little bit.
Yeah. She's like, that is possibly not bullshit.
Well,
and
I am so glad. No, I do. I think it's amazing. But I also am like, all right, thinking about the things I worry about, like even a lot of the things I worry about are very superficial. And I'm like, well, how is this helping me? Oh, it's supposed to teach me this lesson. I don't want to fucking learn that lesson. I want it to be my way.
I'm going to drop something on you right now.
And it's painful because it's not going to be my way. I know it isn't.
I'm going to drop something on you right now. You get uncomfortable when I give you credit for things, for doing things well.
I do. I can't take a compliment, but do I like to hear them? Yes.
So there you go. You can no longer put your head in the sand about this. You're doing good, especially when you rail and you notice that things aren't going your way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times in your life did you just like lose your shit because things weren't going your way and you didn't realize that was why you were losing your shit? Mm-hmm. It was all about how they're not doing this. And it was all fingers pointed outwards. And there was never that finger where it was like, geez, I'm just uncomfortable because it's not going my way.
Mm-hmm.
Like that takes a lot of growth.
It does. I sort of grew up in the way where like I was sort of taught that everything is like, if something is bothering me, I have to change something. Like it's my fault. So I've always sort of been like understanding that it's me, but I point the finger at me in the way that I'm like, why can I not get my head around how to, adjust my attitude or manipulate the situation the way that I want it to, you know, it's like that.
You're absolutely right. Because even, you know, some of the teachers that I listen to, they're like, when you are disturbed, mm-hmm. there is a problem with you.
Oh, yeah.
You find there is something, some person, some situation that is not to your liking.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've come to learn is that the problem isn't your fault. The problem is your power.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to make it wrong and bad because we're uncomfortable with the way things are going down. But when we understand like, hey, this is actually an opportunity for us to see contrast and what that contrast is trying to reveal to us, right? Like just noticing that like it doesn't make me wrong and bad for not liking the way this is conflicting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I can, my power comes in how much I'm going to let this conflict hurt me. That's your power.
I mean, I even had something today where it was yesterday. Something happened and the situation did go the way that I had hoped it would go. But the reaction I got from someone, I didn't get confirmation on how they felt. And then I just kept going in my head, like, why do I care? Why mm-hmm. am I like still harping on this? Like, I got mm-hmm. what I wanted. Like, get it out of your head. Like, stop. Like, just accept it. Like, let go. And I couldn't let go. And then eventually I talked to that person again. And it's like the minute I confirmed with them, everything was okay. It's like, I let it go. But it's like, I don't want that. Like, I want it to be like, okay, it happened that way. I don't have to feel like obsessive over it.
So what is that? That is you giving your power, your creative power, your power of decision making, your power of logistics navigating, your power of the hard work you've done to gain your position. You're putting your power about all the things that make you you and the reason why you're in the room. You're giving that power to somebody else's opinion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So it's like once when we start to understand what something is, then we can even go deeper and say, well, do I like basing how I feel about myself on someone's opinion? And then it goes deeper than that. Why does someone's opinion have to mean more than mine? Where does that come from? It doesn't serve me anymore. How do I do this differently? Mm-hmm. You know, and I like the phrase that opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one and they all stink.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's allowed their opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Being a person in the world is hard.
Oh, my God. Humaning is hard.
Humaning is hard. But can I hear about how your concert was? Did you go see Schism? How was your Easter?
Yes, I saw Schism. I took my brother-in-law. That was the highlight of the weekend because the rest was family. It was great. There was some logistics with my friend who was trying to come with us, but, you know, I felt really proud of myself because I kind of stood my ground and did what I wanted to do and didn't really try to make any one person happy. Mm-hmm. I just made myself happy, which is hard for me. It's not something I do easily. So we got there and I smuggled in my Celsius and we got my Liquid Death and they're playing and it's just awesome. And my brother-in-law has this phantom memory that we have been to a concert before together and we were singing a song together. And it's never happened. And so the song came on. I'm like, okay, have we ever done this song together? And he's like, yeah, no. Because when I go to a concert, well, a Schism or a Tool concert, I'm lost. It's like my church. And I allow all the demons to be exorcised from my body. And it's fucking messy. But it's the best feeling ever. And so something really crazy happened. So, of course, after the show, people are coming up to, oh my God, your energy. I love it. You're so, you had so much fun. I loved watching you. I'm like, thank you. I hope none of them are listening. They probably aren't. But I go up to the drummer and I'm like, hey, dude. Hey, Dom. What's up? You know, like, good job today. Did you ever get that mixer? Because he wants a mixer like yours. And I'm telling him about microphones and stuff. He's like, no, I haven't recorded myself. This couple comes up to us and they tap me and they say, excuse me, I hate to interrupt you. And he's the drummer of the band. And I'm thinking they want to say hi to Don. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just finishing up with him. And they're like, no. They're like, you. The drummer for the band is right there and they're turning to me and they're going, oh my God, we were on the other side of the stage and you were amazing. You just didn't stop. They're praising me. And I wasn't even playing.
You brought it though. You've brought the energy.
But do you know how uncomfortable that was? It was like, I don't... First off, read the room, people, you know,
you're having a conversation.
Well, outside of having a conversation, the actual musician was there, yeah. You know, you could pull me aside later, you know, don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just a fan dancing and but I was so embarrassed, but also it was hard to kind of step in and own my energy and be like, wow. That's kind of cool. This is what it's like to feel kind of famous. Yeah. So I'll be that famous person who's like, yeah, I don't know. And I'll turn into this little chipmunk of a person. But it was like, oh my God. I was just dancing, guys. I was just singing and dancing. That's kind of what you're supposed to do at a concert.
Yeah.
But it was such a weird feeling.
Oh my God. That's amazing, though.
I don't know. It gives me shivers.
Is it? It's like a happy thought. Is it a Patronus thought?
Not yet.
Not yet.
It's a little Bogart.
Okay.
It's still a little bit of a Bogart.
Okay.
You know why it's a Bogart too? Because I grew up thinking that any attention, compliments, accolades that I received, I didn't really deserve. I didn't grow up knowing that just because I was, that was enough. And that was valuable. Mm-hmm. Just like receiving compliments, right? When people see you, when they see the true you, which is the true me that shows up when the music is playing, and then they say they like it, and they say that it gave you something of value, it's just so big. Mm-hmm. It's just like, whoa. It's hard to really process. And then when you realize you can't get a sliver of that, from the people that you regard as your family, the people you're supposed to have the most intimate relationships with. And that's why the whole supposed to is out the window. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to admit that there, and I'm going to say it for the podcast, is that the reason why I've been working so hard with the blog and trying to stay dedicated to this podcast and trying to do more marketing and stuff is because there is a sliver of this offering that I want my family to say, oh, wow, we respect her. Mm-hmm. Because others respect her. And then I want them to regret for not not respecting me earlier. Mm-hmm. You know?
Wouldn't that be lovely?
And I have to admit that about myself because it can't stay a secret. Because if it stays a secret, I will make myself sick. Yeah. And I won't do that to myself. You know, I want the love and respect from my family because they see that my brain and my energy and my contributions just for the way I am makes a difference in this world, even though they couldn't see how it made a difference in their world.
Did you not get like a lot of encouragement or anything like that? Did you get like teased by your family or?
Yeah, I got a lot of criticism, I feel like. And I'm a very, you know, nobody would know this really by seeing me. And actually in my birth chart, it says I present as being very aggressive. Like you see me and you're like, oh, that's a strong black girl. But like, you know, we were watching that show and I'm like, I'm probably going to cry. I'm going to cry. And I'm like, and then I cried, mm-hmm. You know, like I don't cry easy because I've had to be strong. And I'm like very tenderhearted, mm-hmm. Very. I'm not the girl who's going to go up and talk to the guy in hopes that he wants to date her. I will talk to the guy because I can be the grenade. And I've always been the grenade, mm-hmm. The one you jump on. So your friend can get with the hot girl, you mm-hmm. know, for the explosion. So I'm good at being the grenade. I'm not good at being the one who's like, choose me because you're going to feel better when you do.
Yeah.
You know, never that. And so, yeah, a lot of criticism. And it wasn't criticism because they hated me. It was criticism because they wanted me to be safe and mm-hmm. they wanted me to be strong. My parents were black people raised in the 60s in Harlem. And so along with post-traumatic slave syndrome, if your child exhibited any form of weakness, it made them easy prey. Mm-hmm. And black people already were prey. They wanted to raise a child that was going to be able to take care of themselves. Unfortunately, and they didn't get a lot of, I don't think they got a lot of praise either. So if you don't get praise, you're not going to be good at giving it.
Yeah.
Unless you identify that in yourself, which is why I try to give a lot of praise because I don't, you know, the little things I didn't get credit for. Not until, you know, I started going to those places and reading those books.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. There was another question you'd ask, but how about you? What was it? Criticism? Doubting? What was it with you?
Definitely like doubting, criticism, definitely different things from both parents. So like, I mean, my mom thought I was a know-it-all. She'd be like, who do you think you are? You know, what makes you think you can be like that or do that? And then there was just like a lot of like teasing.
Intimidated and threatened by your intelligence. So they had to squish it away.
Yeah.
That's super invalidating.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And not to mention if there was any, so I'm like reading her now. So not to mention if there was any like gender roles, like women should be subservient or they should just follow the male or women shouldn't be too smart because how the hell is she going to get a husband if she speaks up too much? Like, especially if there was that, then of course they're going to try to squish that away because they want to make sure you're attractive and acceptable in society. You can't be too smart.
Well, my mom was just jealous of me.
And then jealousy.
She always wanted to compete with me all the time. Yeah. And then, you know, just you couldn't be vulnerable. Like if I were to be like, I remember when I was a kid, I was like, I really wanted to be a stand-up comedian. I mean, I watched comedy all the time. You know, I would think about jokes. And, you know, I think that my dad wanted to be that. And, like, when I said that I wanted to be, I felt like I was being judged.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm funnier than you. You know, it didn't go like that for me. So you're never gonna.
Mm.
And I remember I sort of just gave up the dream. But then I think about what I do now, and if I ever said, well, I want to get paid for my opinion for a living, my parents would probably be like, you're fucking right.
Ugh.
You know, you don't have a good opinion. You don't have a good judge of character. You don't have a good this. Like, I was told a lot about who I was as a person when I was growing up that I didn't identify with.
Yeah. That's got to be really shitty.
My parents, I mean, my parents weren't bad people.
No, but, and this is in no way an indication of them or an indictment on their character. I mean, we're all given a set of skills when we're born and as we grow up. And if you got them, you got them. You don't, you don't. And what you do with them, you kind of learn with hindsight.
Yeah,
you know? Definitely. But damn, they told you a lot about what you were, who you were. Yeah,
definitely heard a lot about who I was.
So I heard a lot of, so I feel as if there was a lot of what I should be. And then, so that meant, that implied that I already wasn't. And then there was a neglect. So I kind of feel like some of the biggest harm that happened was they just didn't care. If I wasn't in pain and crying to them, they didn't care. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had three other siblings and they had, like, my sister was short. And so it was like, we got to make sure she feels powerful, even though she's short. And she's a tyrant. But she's my favorite tyrant. I swear to God, Melissa, if you're listening to this episode, you are my favorite, favorite tyrant. Okay. I wouldn't want to be dictated to by anybody else except for Hitler. No, psych. I'm joking. I'm joking. You're way better than Hitler. Not really. Anyway. And then my brother had asthma. And then my other brother had dyslexia. And so there were always these, it seemed to be these more emergent problems. Not to mention my sister. She had a temperament like my mother. So she and my mother could get along like really, really well. I was like, I mean, no offense to any redheaded stepchildren, but I was kind of like a redhead stepchild. I was kind of like, who doesn't belong here? I was super sensitive, very imaginative. I could be really quiet or I could be really gregarious, and they didn't know who they were going to get, and whoever they got wasn't really welcomed. Like, it always felt like whoever I showed up as was the wrong person to be.
Yeah.
Wrong. Go back. Read the room. Do it over. And so, and I have to tell you, the majority of my angst came from me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like I said, everybody has opinions. I don't know why I made their opinions count so much, but I did. And that's okay. Now, at the time, it didn't feel so great. I do know that they did everything because they loved me. And I at least provided a safe place for them to be themselves. And yes, I did provide a space for them to grow.
Yeah.
When I provided a challenge, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I definitely provided plenty of challenges for my parents. I was awful as a teenager. I mean, like, oh. God, I was terrible.
I was too scared to be bad.
It's terrible.
Not that you were bad per se, but, you know, I'm missing Mary here. I'm like, we need Mary, our hype girl, going, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, uh-huh. Mary will come on and talk with us one of these days.
Yes.
Oh, my God. But yeah,
so tell me more about you being terrible.
No, I was just like, I just pushed back a lot. Like my mom was really sort of like, a certain way towards me, and I just started not tolerating it.
Wow.
And like, I just pushed back, and I was just nasty.
Not
I was
nasty to my
dad.
It.
I was nasty to my dad. I was nasty to my mom. I was like, you guys have no idea who I am, and you know, don't fucking talk to me.
Oh,
I mean, I wish death upon my dad, which I feel terrible about because he is dead. Like, I was a shitty teenager.
You're not that powerful.
I know. I was a shitty teenager.
Yeah,
but like,
I can get it.
But, like, you know, when I just chose my friends over being with the family a lot. And
I did that, too.
Yeah.
I did that, too. And, I mean, I don't think they realized, like, that was what we were supposed to do. That was the culture. You were raised in a suburbia?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the culture. You had to expand your world, you know? But, you know, I guess when they felt so alone and they felt, you know, thinking about me being an adult now and wanting a family, thinking that my family is my core and I want to go to my family for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you realize, wait a minute, I can't go to my family for everything. I got to go outside. You know, being a kid and wanting to go outside because you can't go to your family for everything has got to be kind of like tough for parents who are like, I created this family so I could go to it for everything, you know?
Yeah.
It, I mean, we just said it. Humaning is like not fucking easy.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
And I imagine that if my dad were alive today and my parents were like still together and all that, like I would have a better relationship with them probably. Yeah. But that's just not how it went. And that's okay. Yeah. And I learned a lot, and I learned how to take care of myself and become an adult. And there are some things I look back at my life and I go, wow, I can't believe I accomplished all of that. Like, I am proud of myself. And, you know, people have helped me along the way, and I'm lucky that I am a good enough person. I mean, my parents definitely helped me to become a good person. I have to give them credit, you know, like not fully, you know, I had to unlearn a lot of things I learned in that family as well. But, you know, parts of myself that I'm like, okay, I have been a good, I don't know, I've brought enough to the table where people have wanted to help me along the way and I've received it. And, you know, here I am today and I don't live a bad life. It could, I sometimes think, wow, if only I had done this, or I had done this, or I did it this way, you know, I could be like so much better off, and I could have had a better life. And that's just not where my mind is as much anymore right now. I'm kind of like, you know, this is it, and I'm okay.
That's growth. Like, when we can be like, all right, this is what I've got, and I'm gonna work with that. Like, yay you.
No, I'm happy about it.
I have to tell you, you've got great ovaries. I want a pair of these brass ovaries. I'm really admiring those fucking ovaries of yours.
You're so funny.
I tell you.
Oh, my
geez,
God.
Geez, when I grow up, I want a pair of ovaries just like yours. Oh, my
God. I should hang ovaries, like,
from your car.
From my car.
Like, I have a fallopian tube ovaries.
Actually, that's very funny.
Yeah.
That would be very funny.
I know. We should create that. Like, magic hour, get your fallopian tubes, hang tags on your car.
Hang tags.
Your uterus.
Actually, I'm probably going to make you a sticker now.
Oh, please do. I'm going to put it on my car. Get a set of these already.
Oh, my God. Will ya? I love that, actually.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, I don't know why they always thought that balls were the things to have. I mean, how smart are they? They have to retract into their bodies in order to be protected.
But
ours,
that's
already
like,
inside.
But it's wild because that is like an ancient thing, like to have, you know, balls. Like, I need to now look up like why balls are so powerful.
I think because they were just men. It was just attached to men.
But this feels more powerful. I mean,
the phallus.
Like, I just did like an obscene gesture at Melanie.
Like, stop shooting your phallus at me.
Oh my God. Actually, I went on, this is horrible to admit, but I'm going to tell you because this is the kind
of
thing.
And then we got to revisit this seems more powerful, but finish what you're saying.
I was looking up plastic surgery for my face the other day.
Like, what? She's getting a phallus.
I was looking up like how to fix like acne scars with the latest, like, I'm literally looking at flying to
Brazil?
No, I think like
Dominican Republic?
Norway. Nothing.
Norway.
Yeah, like,
I'm going to the DR to get my teeth fixed, but anyway, cool.
What do you mean your teeth fixed? Your teeth look great.
We're not talking about my teeth. Continue.
DR. I thought maybe Turkey. You want to go to Turkey? People do that in Turkey.
They do it in Haiti and DR too.
Hell yeah, let's go. But you can't go to Haiti right now.
Has it fallen off the map?
No, but
are they in conflict?
Yeah, very much so.
Okay. But I'm black.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. There's a lot of black people there.
I know. So no,
but if you cross the border, you just have to go, I'm not black, I'm Dominican.
No, I'm good hostage material. I've never been regarded as a positive hostage material. But if I go to Haiti, I'm like maybe a 5 in the hostage material, you know, because I'm American.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No, we need to go.
I am a five.
If you're like a white woman,
1 through 10,
powerful white woman being a 10 in like, yes, we need her as a hostage.
No,
if you're like an eight.
A rich white woman would
be
a good
hostage. You're just not like super rich. So you're like an 8.
An 8, okay.
Because people love you.
I'm an 8.
And you have probably good insurance and they'll be like, oh yeah, we got to get her back. I'm like 5.
We'll get her back. I don't know.
Yeah, like the State Department will show up and be like, wait, this is a problem. The State Department department's like,
so you're saying you're a five.
I'm saying
you,
I'm a five.
You would need advocates to be like,
I'd need a community center. A community center be like, by the way, it's been 10 years since Melanie got kidnapped by the Haitians.
Well, no. Like we'll, a kick, we'll do a Kickstarter. Yeah, right.
Kickstarter. Like,
bring back Melanie.
Who?
I love these like dark scenarios that we fall into.
Okay, listen, pray for Haiti. Now, you're saying about your...
No, this is stupid. So I was looking at plastic surgeries and you can like look at before and after pictures. So I'm like looking at skin and I'm like, oh, this looks good. Maybe I'll do this. It'll probably be painful, but maybe they'll put me under or something like that. And then... one was like penis enhancement. I'm like, I have to look at this. I can't not look at this.
Yeah.
Just,
and
it wasn't great. It wasn't what I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's more than just a pump, right?
It was like a lot of measuring sticks. And then I felt bad. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys, I feel bad that they just paid all this money to get...
skin stretching.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then implantation of foreign devices, mesh. Yeah. Well, to have for a trans person to get a penis is pretty intense. Well, yeah, intense.
I've definitely heard of that. Like, you know, folks going through that. But I'm talking about, like, cis males.
Listen.
Getting penis enhancements.
Making a dick, enhancing a dick. Ain't easy business.
It's a lot.
So it's like, just be glad for what God gave you. Unless you want to be in a lot of pain.
No, seriously, that's a big commitment to do something like that. But yeah, I was just like fantasizing about like flying to Norway to get plastic surgery on my face because I judge myself constantly. That's what we were talking about.
I'm like thinking, what's the physical therapy process that look like?
Hopefully it's great.
Your insurance covers a physical therapist.
Like. No, yeah, it's probably great, but at first you might not be able to like feel it.
Yeah, that's got to suck in the beginning.
Got to be intense and kind of humiliating to go through physical therapy to do that.
Oh my God. Joke, but well, that's a big deal. What? They probably have a whole like private network thing.
Yeah.
Like this whole hymns on the internet, on TV, it's like, hey, you got ED. Hey, you need a therapist. Just contact him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've got this really discreet way for men to take care of themselves. And it's like, excuse me, you had a discreet way to take care of yourself. It was called a fucking doctor. If you'd gone to the doctors when we
told you
to
were
going to
say glory hole. The discreet way to take care of yourself.
Like, go to the motherfucking doctor. No, you're going to do it online.
I know, but doctors, if you think about it, like, if you, there's, it's hard to find a good doctor.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
It's hard to find a good doctor.
How much easier is it going to be to find a doctor online?
Yeah, but if it's specifically for that.
Okay, so you can diagnose a man with ED and give him pills, which elevate his heart rate, do all sorts of things to his blood pressure online, but a woman has to go and get her whole hoo-ha inspected and scraped for a fucking yeast infection or vaginal or BV, bacterial vaginosis.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
Like, I mean, how often do you have a yeast infection or bacterial vaginosis and they just give you a bunch of fucking antibiotics? You got to go to the doctor and get them all up in your shit for that. But yet here you are going to take something that affects your heart where you could get your dick chopped off if you take too much. You know what I mean? You know, prof is something where your dick stays hard like forever and they got to get rid of it. They got to drain that shit. You can get that shit online, but you can't get Diflucan by talking to a doctor. I'm sorry. I know it's a little late for this, but you said.
The thought of draining
a penis.
An erect penis that will not go down.
Oh, come on now. Okay, so now we got to go back. Now we got to go back to this whole, I think the phallus is stronger. Wrong.
So the balls are the strong one.
No.
Okay.
Neither one of them are strong. Okay. So they say God made man. Okay. Melanie's going on a tirade.
Melanie.
So they say God made man first. And then he realized he made a few mistakes. So he made woman. God put the egg making shit on the inside of a woman. Because that shit makes sense. He put the pleasure dome inside of a woman because that shit makes sense, okay? For a man, you know.
Pleasure dome.
when you want to get a man to stop fucking around with you because he's got bigger muscles than you, where do you hit him? Right in his pleasure dome, right? Why? Because it's on the outside. Mm-hmm. Okay. The other thing is, a fucking uterus, a fucking cervix takes a fucking pounding.
Beat it up.
Guys swear about beating up the pussy, tearing up the fucking pussy. And that shit snaps back for most people. It usually takes childbirth in order for that shit to, and it's not even rendered inoperable. It's just a little bit looser. Yeah. Not to mention, a child comes out of that fucking thing, you sew it up, you do a bunch of Kegels, you can go back to like fighting shape.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? It's like a 15-year-old again.
Right? But I mean, like, okay, yes, I do not experience that type of problem because I haven't had children. But how many women do I know?
Pussy is snatched. We're just
going to make it. It is kind of snatched.
We're going to make the announcement now.
Snatched pussy and looking. No. But, like, I'm serious. Like, what's stronger? The thing that's on the outside that if you rub it the wrong way, it can break? Because that happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you gotta go with the grain instead of against the grain.
Or the thing that takes numerous poundings, you know, in all sorts of directions, from all sorts of things, that can stretch, and then attached to a uterus that can stretch and expand, and it has these eggs that are in the inside. That don't get hurt by anything outside.
But what's wild is like epigenetics. It's like you were in your maternal's grandmother before your mother was even born, your birth mother. Like you were
a little piece of you, yes.
That's wild to me.
Exactly.
And
the guys are just shooting it off all over the place. You guys are like but an instant long.
Just shooting it off.
I mean, that one sperm cell, I mean, you had what, like a 1 in 500 chance of not ending up in a tissue?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Whereas, like, let me stop.
Like, wiped on someone's bedside. Oh,
God. How did we always get here, Mel? Rope play.
Oh, my God.
I think it's time for a tarot card.
It's magic. Well, we hope this has been a very magical hour for you, like it's been for us.
And a happy ending.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. Are you going to pick a card first? What's your week like? What's your weekend like?
Knowing that I have a very strong vagina.
Yeah.
What's my week look like? Just getting through each day with integrity.
That's each it. Day That's with it. Integrity. I love that. I can list all the things that I have to do. I want to go for a run. I want to watch another episode of that show tomorrow.
Five. What show? Oh, yeah, that show. Yeah, that's a good show. That's a very good show. That show is pretty cool. All right.
Tell me what you got.
So this came out. So, because my sugar is dropping now and I need to eat. So, I got the Five of Pentacles, the Hierophant, and the Magician.
You got three? Okay, so we got the Five of Pentacles. What's that look like?
It's this.
Oh.
Poor people walking underneath the window.
It's the poors.
Yeah. It looks a little scary, but I know in the end it turns out well. So.
Yeah, things do not look good for you at the moment. Perhaps you have a failed business or have lost your job, or maybe you have lost a loved one or just broken up an important relationship. Okay, probably that one.
Yeah, more likely.
This is when you find out who you really are. This is the time of the dark night of the soul.
Yep.
Now is a good time to analyze your limitations. Even though things may look bad now, there is solace in companionship and in a more spiritual way of life. Others who are in the same situation may be there to help you through this situation.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's totally like where I am right now.
Yeah. That's amazing. What was your other one?
Hierophant. It said five. It had a five on top. H.
Oh, it's a major arcana.
Yeah, I had two major arcanas. One jumped out. The Hierophant jumped out, and then the Magician was underneath.
This guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, wow. This is a long explanation. We're gonna say religion, conformity, ritual. When that Hierophant appears in a reading, he speaks of the person's need for social approval and drive to conform to social norms and values. Perhaps the querent has a fear of
of being the outsider, and therefore accepts conformity without question, even if that conformity stifles their creative nature. The Hierophant indicates a preference for established religion and their creeds, rituals, and ceremonies. The Quarant may feel safer being told what to believe and may prefer not to play the outsider by questioning the authority of spiritual leaders or teachers. Over-reliance on the Hierophant can prevent people from seeing the inner mysteries both within religious teachings and within the self, capital S. The Hierophant also teaches us to enjoy both the outer and the inner forms of religion and spirituality. When we understand the mysteries of the Hierophant, we can reconcile the seeming opposition between esoteric religion. No, there's two words that I don't know that one. And realize that the divine works may level.
Yeah. So I'm getting teachers, more teachers, and getting what I need.
You should listen to yourself.
I think to myself too.
And then what was the last one?
The magician.
Unless you're going to pass out, you don't have to.
No, I'm good.
Okay. The magician. This, I think, is a good card.
Oh, it's a great one. I mean, they're all great cards.
Strength of will, the ability to apply intellect. Mm. Okay. You have the ability to make things happen in your life. Amen. Mm-hmm. Learn to master your skills and it will make you stronger and aid your well-being. Whether this card applies to your creative talents, your learning ability, or organizational skills, or even something as simple as cleaning out a wardrobe, you, the Quarant, are pushing forward in life in a positive way. Like the magician, you know that harmony is necessary in all things, and your desire to perfect your life is growing stronger. If this period in your life feels like a transition from one situation to another, then so be it. Let your divine nature guide you. Being in control of your life is sometimes a painful experience. It may mean that you must concentrate on what you truly need and relinquish what is outworn. Do not be afraid. You are the master, the mistress of your destiny.
Yep. So three cards you can read as past, present, future. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm totally in the Hierophant stage. Wow. And then the magician stage is what's happening now. And I was a five of pentacles. Hmm. Yep.
Very, very, very good.
Did you want me to try to read it? Or are you going to read it? Because you know exactly where to read.
I can show you how to get to it if you want to read the cards.
That'd be great. So there's the three of pentacles, the high priestess, and the, eight of cups?
All right.
Craftsmanship skill, a trade that skilled artists, material increase, commercial transaction. Okay, sorry. So the three of pentacles, whatever you achieve will be through your own skill and craftsmanship. Be proud of your skills. They will make your fortune and bring you the wealth you desire. This card indicates gain in commercial transactions if your skills are applied correctly. It also represents people who work in the mysteries, the magical or spiritual craftsman, the mason, or those practicing within other secret societies or occult orders. So you've got everything you need. Actually, they're like, use your skills, girl. Work it. I know that you've been doing some creative things lately, so your decisions are good.
Good.
All right.
And love that.
What's the next one? You have the High Priestess, a major arcana card. Here we go. High Priestess. Our futures are waiting to be revealed. We cannot know fully what lies ahead along the path we have chosen. Influences are at work, not yet ready to show themselves. Totally. Influences that originate in our psyche and strongly affect our personal lives. This is the card of the physically gifted person, the mystic, the dreamer, one who can see beyond the material veil into other worlds and other times. Oftentimes, this card comes to those who, like sibyls of old, have prophetic gifts. Mm-hmm. This is the card of artists, writers, musicians, and all those who can feel the wonderful influence of the divine. The High Priestess is a wise counselor, for she listens rather than talks to the Quarant. She is a true and gracious friend. That is so you. And I've told you you're magical before.
Oh, I love you.
They're like saying you're stepping into it, girl.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. She's growing, uh-huh, stronger than yesterday. I think that's like a Britney Spears or something.
Yeah, it is a Britney Spears song.
And the, what is that? Eight of Cups?
Yesterday, yeah.
At first, this card may appear completely negative. Okay. It points out that you threw away advantages and success in your life, both materially and personally. It warns you to be prepared for disappointment in love. This could be because you're looking for something higher, something spiritual. Even though this may be your goal, do not throw all that you have achieved away without careful thought. The journey you take may not succeed in their purpose. So, like, look at the stuff that you're, like, invalidating and realize, wait a minute, this is actually very valuable.
What was the reversed?
The reverse. When you see the chance for success, take it while you can. This card also suggests that celebrations are at hand, particularly if they involve travel. At this time, your material needs must take precedence over your spiritual ones.
I don't know.
Wow.
Interesting. Well, I hope that we both have a good weekend. And a good week. I know. I'm like, what time is it?
I'll be at the Trenton Punk Rock Flea Market all weekend.
All weekend? So, Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, I can't go roller skating, which I kind of wanted to do with a friend of ours, Jacqueline. So, yeah.
Wait, you're going roller skating?
No, I wanted to, but I can't.
That sucks. I love roller skating.
You should reach out to Jacqueline. Actually, it's a thing. It's a thing.
I love roller skating. I don't know. I'm kind of busy this weekend, but I would love to go roller skating another time. So even if we both can't go this weekend, but we should go roller skating.
I know. That'll be fun. We should do a podcast on roller skates. Hell, oh, my God. Yeah,
I do have a recorder. But all right. Well, hasta la vista, baby.
I'll be back.
All right.